Well, I didn't think my weekend could get any better, and then there's my team, Denmark, moving on to the last 16. Everything is coming up, Brian Hayes. We've been doing this show for a long time, and
yeah.
I anticipate 4 o'clock a lot. Today it's 4:50. This one's a top three show for me. I can't wait to get into what we're going to get into this afternoon. How about you guys? How you feeling this afternoon?
I'm embarrassed about my own actions. I went and picked up Greek food from my buddy Bobby at Just Greek.
Yeah.
And I'm picking it up. And I go, how's your team doing? The Greeks. And he's like, what? He's like, they're not even in the tournament. I'm like, he's like, don't you work at TSN? I'm like, yeah, I do, actually. He goes, we're not in the tournament. I go, better luck next time, bud.
Yeah, good luck, man.
Maybe next time. Yeah, good you're luck. Good.
I thought Greece was like a world power, man.
No, they're far from it, but they are generally in big tournaments. Like, they were in the World Cup in 2014. The reason I remember that is today is my anniversary, and my wife and I afterwards went to Greece to honeymoon, and they were playing in the World Cup. And I remember watching live games over in Santorini, Mykonos. We were hopping all over the country. It was awesome. And they won the Euros, I believe, in 2004.
Yeah.
Which was, like, one of the most miraculous runs in, you know, international soccer history. At least they're in Europe, right? Like, right. You didn't ask some guy from Japan,
yeah.
You know, how you doing? How's your team doing in the Euros? Or, you know, yeah. An American or something like that.
But you're, I didn't realize today's your anniversary. Like, you know, because it's so weird because hockey's still going on. Like, I just feel like, I feel like we're in April or May. Like, this doesn't feel like the first day of summer.
Right. Everything's out of sorts. I was talking right. with multiple people about that over the weekend. They're like, how's work? You know, generally yeah. speaking, I see someone or I talk to someone late in June. It's like, well, it's dying down a little bit, you know, like free agency around the corner and Raptors had a good year, you know, whatever it is. And now I'm like, man, there's a ton of material. There's so much right. going on right now. Mm-hmm. And this is the end of it, I believe. I think by next year we're going to get back onto a similar rhythm that we're used to and a conventional rhythm.
We can only hope. We can
you have to hope that. And exactly. But take advantage while you can. June 21st and we're still rocking. It's great.
How many years?
7 years.
What? Yep. That was 7 years ago?
Seven years ago.
That we went out and got eaten by mosquitoes at that
right.
ranch? Or
I ruined your weekend. I knew you were going to be miserable up there. Right when I saw you by the pool, you're in like a long sleeve shirt. It's 25 degrees out. Like, this guy is just out of his
that
element.
That was 7 years ago?
7 years ago. Yeah.
I was going to say like four. I thought that was 4 years ago.
Well, like, I've got my oldest will be 6 in a few months.
Yeah,
so
I guess I don't know. I can't keep any, you know, keep
the
track
next
of
seven are the best seven.
Is
Hazy.
That what they say?
Yeah, oh,
that's
yeah.
what I hear.
I couldn't tell you for sure because I've never done it, but they say that.
Yeah, well, you'll
fine.
Have your day. You're,
yeah,
you're getting
exactly.
up there. You're almost at 2 years, right?
Yeah,
you're almost
oh,
at
yeah.
two.
Oh,
I
yeah.
like it. So yeah, it's a big day around here and. There's a lot going on in the sports world. Shout out to Denmark, though, in all seriousness. Like, the way their tournament started with Christian Eriksen and what happened to him on the pitch, and then they resumed the game, and they lost to Finland, they lose to Belgium, and they come back and win this afternoon, and everything just broke their way. So they're through. They're through to the last 16, and so is Belgium. I believe that's your team, Noodles.
Yeah.
But there's a lot to get into on that front. And shout out to Jon Rahm. I didn't know the first Spaniard to ever win the U.S. Open. I figured Seve or, you know,
dude.
Jose Maria Olazabal.
Well,
somewhere.
I mean,
that golf tournament morphed into a C-Flight Club Championship on the back nine. There
what was
golf,
going on?
I don't know, but all Zinger was like, oh, DeChambeau hasn't made a bogey in 31 holes. And DeChambeau, honestly, a wire crossed, and he started turning into a 13 handicap and chopping and hacking it around that golf course. But the thing I don't understand, Hayes, like, he wants to bomb and gouge. That's what he wants to do. That's his advantage. But wasn't there a time where his caddy could have, even Oosthuizen on 17, hit a 3-wood off the tee and
yep.
make a par? Why are you hitting the driver? I have no – these guys hit – and they talk about bomb and gouge, which is 345 off the tee. These guys hit their three-woods 310 yards. What the hell's wrong with a three-wood 9-iron and just 17 to make a par – birdie 18 and get into a playoff? It was ridiculous.
Well, that certainly applies with Oosthuizen, and I don't think that's ever going to apply with Bryson, and I don't think it should, because he has a formula that works. It did not work in the final nine holes, clearly, yesterday, but he was standing on the 10th tee in the lead of the U.S. Open back-to-back years. I didn't expect him to put the driver away. Like, that's not his game. He's got to go down with the ship. Louis Oosthuizen, it doesn't matter if he was hitting a wedge. He was finding OB. That guy melts when a tournament is on the line. Like, that's just his reality. That's his history. And he went Norman on 17T. Like, he hooked that thing left, and you're like, there it goes. John Rahm might as well have popped champagne when he hooked that thing off the 17T because it was over. He wasn't going to eagle 18. He wasn't going to find a way to get up and down in par 17. But DeChambeau, the back nine by him yesterday, that is the worst golf you will ever see a pro player play. Like, shanking balls around. He was finding rough.
13th hole, that par 5, he was probably thinking, I'm going to hit driver, some kind of 2-iron, 3-iron to the green, and make a birdie. He went rough, rough. Guy runs onto the fairway, starts slapping balls out into the ocean, gets arrested, and he was a mess from there on in.
That streaker, man. Like, I understand this is the most immature humor, and I'm not condoning streaking because I don't like it and I don't want to see it happen. But when it does happen, seeing a streaker run away from security is always pretty funny. And then he gets taken down with a cart.
The best part was he acted like, okay, you got me. And then he was like, no, I'm running. And then I'm running. Yeah.
It's always the move. It's like, all right, I'll concede.
But then
he
runs right into a cart. He's an idiot.
Well, like, what do you think that guy was on? And what was he doing? He's in San Diego. He looked like a hippie. You know, he's out there launching balls into the ocean. Anyway, we'll come back and get more into the U.S. Open. We'll get into the Habs in Vegas. We'll get into a lot of different things. Rays coming up. Al's brother with a great power rankings this afternoon. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, here we go. Overdrive off and running. TSN 1050 online, tsn1050.ca. The TSN app, it's soon to be up on TSN 2. Brian Hazy, O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. We got a big afternoon, only 2 hours, so we got to cram a lot in here, including Al's brother with a power ranking that I think everyone's going to appreciate. I think it's an appropriately timed power ranking. It's in about 90 minutes. Ray will join us in about 7 or 8 minutes from now. Nota Begay in about an hour, who was up close and personal at Torrey Pines in the U.S. Open yesterday. Shout out to John Rahm, my pick, may I point out. So I'm back in the black and feeling good. I think I'll be seeing you tomorrow morning, and I look forward to that exchange.
Well, what you have to figure out tomorrow is, like, you're the guy that, like, how many shots do you need to even?
What the hell's on your T-shirt? What
is
going on
there? It's my goalie T-shirt. It's a Noodles.
Are you seeing this?
It's a Noodles goalie T-shirt.
I love that shirt. Yeah. I need one of those shirts. Where'd you get that shirt?
I had it made. Carlo's brother made it. Goalie T-shirt, Noodles. And, like, every time I see a save on Twitter, I say Noodles would have had that. This is Noodles. Look at that positioning right there.
Perfect.
Glove is up. He's not going down on the butterfly too early. It's the Noodles
show
goalie.
The glove.
Textbook.
Show the glove.
Show the glove.
Textbook. I'd love it. Okay.
But you got to figure out how many shots you're going to get tomorrow. Because anyone's going to take you on their team, i.e. me, I need to know, because we'll be up
against.
I'm
playing out of 12. What are you playing at? You tell me. We'll figure it out tomorrow. We'll work something out. Don't
worry. I'll digest the 12 and
you figure that out. Okay.
I'm fired up, but is it supposed to rain on you though? That's what I'm concerned about.
No, I think
about.
It's supposed to work
tomorrow's
out. Actually,
tomorrow's dialed in. Tomorrow's dialed in.
I think we're good tomorrow. Nice. And I gotta believe, you know, golf courses around Canada probably talking about, you know, sporting events over the course of the weekend with the Euros going on and the U.S. Open. It was a wild back nine, and the Stanley Cup playoffs, the NBA playoffs were wild too. We'll get to that later on in the afternoon. The Jays salvaged 2 of 3. It was ugly, the ninth inning on Saturday. Really ugly. Bo Bichette with the at-bat of the season, and we'll tell you why later this afternoon. But Tampa and the Islanders are tied at 2 going back to Tampa. Montreal and Vegas tied at 2 going back to Vegas. It doesn't have to make sense, but I think it's just. You know, I think Vegas was better in games 1 and game 3. Montreal better in games 2 and game 4. Who cares how they won, when they won? It should be 2-2.
You're so right because they didn't deserve to win game three. That price was brilliant. They were opportunistic. Your buddy, the flower, as you called it.
Oh, yeah. I got something lined up for that. Don't you worry.
He had an incident. But, I mean, ultimately, I thought the Habs were – they deserved to win last night. They didn't deserve to win game three. But you're right. It's 2-2. Same thing with the Islanders, Tampa. Like, the Islanders are – they won't go away. No. Like, I think both of these teams, if does – I think they're both going seven. I don't know why. I just have that in my mind that both of these series are going seven. And I'm not going to choose a winner. But I just I think this – we're looking at – we're going to be talking this week, I guess, game sevens, which I hope.
I agree with you. I think it's probably going there, too. I think it's going there, too. But in terms of the Habs-Vegas scene and the situation, it's about Marc-Andre Fleury, which we talked about extensively on Friday. I called my shot. I mean, it was just a spectacular call.
Let me just take a wild guess here. You have – an audio of you saying this guy could be a wild card.
No, it's out there. The sound has been heard, and I'm sure we do have it, and I guess we might play it at some point. But it went viral. I would guess friend of the show, one of our favorites, Peter DeBoer, was probably sitting in his hotel room in Montreal watching it, thinking that guy knows what he's talking about. And if I'm Peter DeBoer, Leonard's playing in game five.
Yeah.
For me. Robin Not Leonard's me. Game five. Oh,
Not
I'm,
me.
I'm sticking. Because they were – I'm not buying this. He's fatigued. He's too old. He couldn't go back in the net. They saw something that Marc-Andre Fleury has shown many times in the past, and there was a reason they went out and got Robin Leonard at the trade deadline last year. They were terrified that this guy's old colors
were
going to show
up
again.
I'm not getting back into this. This guy has been unbelievable throughout the playoffs. They took down the Colorado Avalanche in Minnesota in a seven-game series. They're not terrified of this guy taking a shart. They're not.
I would go right back.
I bet you the 100 that you won in the golf that Fleury goes back into the net.
I think they're going back with Leonard in game five, personally. But I think if Leonard loses, they go back to Fleury. Like, that's the difference. And, like, this isn't a drop-off. These are both starting goaltenders. The difference for me and why I didn't like the decision, but Peter DeBoer, he's privy to behind the scenes. He either saw something or played a gut instinct. That's on him. It worked out for him. But Mark Stone, Marchessault, Smith, Carlson, those guys
awful.
Aren't getting yet. They're not
They've
getting
yet
from the lineup. Like, that's the only
thing.
They
didn't even fly to Montreal.
I know they
can't even get a shot on net. Like, they can't get close to the net. And then you got to give credit to the Montreal for that. But I find both series, it's like it's coming to you got to be a lover of the sport to be. It's not like you're watching these games saying, oh, my God, this is the best hockey I ever seen. There is no room. You can't make a pass. There's no room. There's no shots on net. You really have to dig in and grind right now to make anything happen. Like that goal, McNabb goal, that he snuck in from the point and just squeaked it by Carey Price. Like, goals from Petrangelo, point shots. It's like there's not much going on out there.
No
there isn't
right.
yet. That Nikolai Waugh goal was a spectacular goal.
Dude, to have the patience, because most guys, they just want to slam it on the ice and say it was in quick. To have the patience to just flick it over everybody, that is pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, it was a gorgeous
Beautiful goal.
Beautiful goal. Yeah.
Beautiful.
I mean, even if you look at it, the Anderson overtime goal, for him to bat it out of the air and Byron to make that play, like, there has been some skilled plays. There's been some great saves. Like if you look at it, Vegas had 45 shots the other night, and Price made some unbelievable saves. Unbelievable. So there has been chances, but they haven't been able to execute. My point coming, and I know goaltending's a different situation, is there's been guys on that roster who, you know, DeBoer's gone right back to, but Fleury stubs his toe in Montreal, and he's like, no, I'm going with Leonard. And he played a gut instinct, good on him. I think he'll go back to Leonard in game five and let the chips fall where they may.
I would definitely do that, and I think it's – this is where data gets thrown out the window, analytics gets thrown out the window, and sometimes coaching simply comes down to your gut instinct and your intuition, and this is why you get paid the big bucks. And this is going to be a remarkably difficult decision to make because of what Fleury has done for you all year. Guy's up for the Vezina. He's been unbelievable. He was great in the first two rounds.
Yeah.
But they went out and got Robin Leonard for a reason last year. There was something they saw or something they knew about Fleury that they didn't seem to trust. And we saw it in not only in game three, game two was when he showed, you know, cracks in the armor. He struggled in game two. And that blunder in game three, that's one of the worst goaltending blunders in Stanley Cup history. Like, it is. That is an inexcusable mistake.
Based on the timing of it, too.
The timing of it. And it wasn't like he fell or something. He passed it to Anderson for a wide open net. And I don't really buy the fatigue stuff. He may go back to Fleury. That's his call. He might.
Think about how Fleury responded after game one in the Colorado series. Went back in there. He was dialed in.
Looks spectacular.
I wouldn't be surprised at all if Fleury was back in the net tomorrow night.
I wouldn't either, though. I do think it's a coin flip. I'm just saying, personally, I would look at what Leonard did and why I made the decision with Fleury, and I would stick with Leonard because of Fleury's history, which you guys didn't want to hear last week, but I think it's there.
The caller.
Someone called in and had a take that you thought was bloviating in nature and stupid and ridiculous, but it turns out sometimes a caller can be spot on. You know, first time, long time. I'll hang up and listen. Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, speaking of a caller, we have Ray in Vancouver on the line. Go ahead, Ray. You want to talk about Marc-Andre Fleury versus Robin Leonard. Your thoughts.
When Fleury passed that puck off his foot and it went in the net, I said to Cammy, Hayes is going to be an ass on Monday.
So obnoxious. So obnoxious.
Why don't you play the stupid audio clip? Play your clip of you saying.
Dude, it's 5 minutes. I went on forever. We spent the whole afternoon. We can't isolate one clip. We brought that thing up 15 different times.
I'm like, are you kidding me? Yeah. Are you kidding me? And look, I don't care who wins. Doesn't really bother me one way or the other. But the fact that you were so out to lunch on that take, it happened.
Yeah, it was once in a million, man.
Oh,
man. Came together. And, Ray, like, we were all texting when the report came out that Leonard was in the starter's net. That's when it really dawned on me that Monday at 5 is going to be a lot of fun because that meets Peter DeBoer. Because I'm not buying the fatigue and old age argument. Do you buy any of that whatsoever, or
no,
what do you make of it?
I don't, but what I don't understand, like, okay, taking aside how well Leonard played, because he was really good, and, you know, don't forget the save on Caulfield on the breakaway at 1-0, and, like, he was terrific. Like, if you think Leonard's a good goalie, it still took an immense barrel of courage to put a guy in that the last time he played, the team lost 7-1, tired or whatever that happened, and he hasn't played since and hadn't played really much before. Like, it took real guts and feel for his team, for his goalies, to go ahead and do that. Like, I'm like, I don't get it. I don't understand it, except maybe we've talked about this a little bit in the past. Like, maybe we've got to give these coaches a little credit that they just might know their teams better than us.
Maybe.
It's so true, though, because when I saw that Leonard was going, I thought that Peter DeBoer had made up his mind 7 seconds after they lost the other night. It was like, I'm going with Leonard next game. Like, now, sometimes, you know, as coaches, you sit in a room and you're pissed off and you're emotional and you're saying, you know, you say things or you think things, and then you let it simmer and you wake up the next day and you go, all right, we're going to go back with the same lineup, or we're going to go, or you watch the game film and you're like, you know what, we're all right here. He might have gone back and watched the game film and got more pissed off, you know, or something, because I was shocked that he went to Leonard. But could you imagine if we're sitting here talking today that they lost? They're down 3-1. If Leonard goes and lays a bad game, or they end up losing last night, we're sitting there going, what do they do today?
I'll tell you what, Noodles, that money that Leonard makes, it was worth every cent for that one
win
he
gave him.
That's a $5 million win, man, to put that guy in and get that victory.
But it carries over. Like, now it goes back to game five. Whoever's in net, if you lose, the question pops up again.
I think it's I think it's fascinating. Like, my gut feel, of course, I'm coming off being wrong already. I would go back to Leonard because of the way he played. And then if you lose, you come back for Fleury in game six. But he just as easily could go back to Fleury. Why not? The guy has had an incredible season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yet in that first period the other night, I watched it on delay, so I saw the shots were like 13-4 or whatever, and I'm like, damn, Leonard must have done his job in the first period.
Man, yeah, he looked good. He looked really good. The Caulfield stop, you know, that was effectively the game. That's 2-0, and it's over. And, like, he said after the game, the tape is in on Caulfield. I don't know how you can have tape or a game plan on the guy. Yeah, that was in college a week ago.
I thought the Leonard comments after, like,
a little
like,
bit heroic.
Yeah, a bit. But that's him. Heroic. He's a big personality, right? Like, that's how he is.
I'll tell you, I like the thing that he said he came in and scrolled through Twitter for two. That kind of cracked me up. Like, I just kind of found it funny. I wasn't so crazy about, our scouting report says he'll go 5-hole or top glove. Like, why would you tell anybody the scouting report?
Right. Exactly. Like, Caulfield's going to see that and be like, okay, next time
I'll shoot a low blocker next time. I don't know. But he was as important as anybody on that Vegas team in game four. Like, that was – like, he had to outgoal the other guy. He did. And it's not that Price was bad or anything like that. But he had to – he had to at least be the equal of the guy that had been the better goalie in the series. And
What's the agent gonna post if Leonard starts next game, like DeBoer taking Alan a chainsaw Walsh to his head?
Well, DeBoer should quote tweet it with that fumble in game three. You know, like that's the thing. I was waiting for Walsh to tweet something out, but what are you gonna do, man? Like Fleury.
Oh, you weren't the only one waiting on that.
We were all waiting. The whole hockey.
Everyone was scrolling, refreshing Twitter just to see if Allen was going to come in hot, but he, you know, obviously he kept it, you know, he didn't say anything. And it's so interesting to have, like, what teams have two guys like this? You would make this decision. I mean, the Islanders kind of did it, but Sorokin's a rookie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not to this level. And that's why I think it is deeply rooted in the history of Fleury. And this is simply me on the outside, clearly. I'm not in the room. I'm not Peter DeBoer. But why did you go get Leonard last year when you had Marc-Andre Fleury? Why did you sign him to the extension? Why?
Well, here's what I would say to that. Succession plan. Marc-Andre Fleury is 37. Did any of us think that Marc-Andre Fleury at 37 years old was going to be a Vezina finalist?
You got to admit, though, it was early pulling the trigger on the succession plan, Jamie.
He's got years left on his deal.
But what they did is they grabbed a guy who was going to be unrestricted. They got a free look at him down the stretch because he was becoming unrestricted, and then they signed him at the end of the season.
Right, Noodles, but they signed him for $5 million. Like, there are tandem goalies you can get for $1.5 million, you know, $2 million.
You're right.
They signed a guy where they're like, we can't let this guy go, and, you know, my impression is it's because it wasn't a succession plan, it was a plan B. If Fleury falls apart, we need someone else.
Yeah, that's fair.
And I think now that the Band-Aid has been ripped off, Flower got you as far as he could, just like with Pittsburgh. And then Murray said, I'm going now, right? Like, that took stones. Murray was an unknown commodity. No one knew who he was outside of Pittsburgh. And the head coach decided we're running him. Flower got us as far as we can. And I wonder if the same thing – I got to believe they're thinking about the same thing. It doesn't mean they'll act on it, but I wonder if they're like, Flower, thank you for everything. Unbelievable regular season.
Okay. I don't know how it works.
I don't know how it works in 30 days, but does one of them have a no-move clause?
Well, I think the Flower does. I'll look at their deals, but I think Marc-Andre Fleury has a no-movement clause in his contract, yes.
So they've got to expose Leonard.
I guess you're right. I guess you're right.
They got to expose one of them, right?
Maybe Seattle grabs them. Yep, that's a good point.
Well, if I'm Seattle, I'm picking up 5 goalies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
I agree.
I'm picking as many goalies and as many D as I can, and then I'm going to try and shuttle them around for, you know, picks and prospect. You know, like you know, Vegas. I think at one point they had like 12 NHL defensemen, and then they started trading them off for draft picks and other players right after their expansion draft. But one of those guys, you can't protect two goalies.
Right.
Yeah, someone will be up. Yep. I think you're right. Someone will be up for sure.
But I guess that's something for 25 days from now. But, man, it's a big decision for, you know, for game five for sure. But, man, Leonard was good. He was terrific.
He was good. And, you know, obviously the officiating is a big part of the conversation. And last night it was rather extreme.
Jesus, Murphy.
And, you know, I think I'm somewhat moderate on this. I mean, you guys chime in here, but everyone knows penalties are a part of the game, right? Like, it's not like the rule book stops in the playoffs. If it's a judgment call, I'm fine with letting it go. You didn't see it completely. They're humans. Fine, let it go.
Right.
But if it's blatant and it's right in front of your eyes, call it.
You mean like a punch in the face right in front of your eyballs?
Like, no one, who's going to complain about that?
See, the problem is...
Okay, but if you're Braden McNabb, you're not things happen fast, but he's probably not too concerned about that punch after the Weber Nosek thing.
Right.
Right.
Like, there was four penalties before they called anything. And the best part is, just reading through Twitter, people on both sides, either the Montreal side or the Vegas side, they both hated the officiating.
Yeah.
That's not... I just don't see that you can say, yeah, it's a different game, or they should say it's a different game in the playoffs. We're going to let the players decide. Because by letting the players decide, because you don't want the officials to decide, you're letting them really decide. The officials are deciding. They're like, nope, I'm not calling that.
That's when the players get pissed off, Ray. If you let punches in the face right in front of you, and then a little ticky-tack hook on the arm by Suzuki, and you're calling that, they're like, what the hell is going on here?
Yeah.
You just watched somebody get punched in the face right in front of you, and that's no penalty, and that little play there is a penalty, and I think that's where the outrage starts.
Well, but, wouldn't you just, in the games, like, we'd know, like, you'd be like, nah, they're not calling anything, and so if a guy gets by you, just grab his sweater. You know he's not going to call it.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, see, I used to love a ref that was old school, but I didn't like, just like what happened last night, punch in the face. Okay, nothing to see here. But then there's a big moment in the game where there's 5 minutes left and there's a stupid little trip called. You're like, come on, man. I thought this was big boy hockey. I thought we weren't calling that. And ultimately somebody ends up getting screwed by it.
Well, you know what? If you establish, like, I have no problem. Like, I think the regular season they call a bunch and whatever. In the playoffs, I don't mind them setting a standard, but live by it. But what is the standard? That is the question that I have, because last night I couldn't figure it out as a fan, as an analyst, as a former player. What's the standard? Because I get it, like, in the regular season, a little tap on the laces, tap on the gloves, that, you know, they're trying to get rid of certain things. But I get that in the playoffs, the ice is more contested. But there still has to be a standard. Like, Ray, you and I were texting. I was laughing because there's a famous ref, Paul Stewart. That was Paul Stewart hockey last night, the refs.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You know, Stewie would be yelling at the players, like, suck it up and keep going. And you know what I mean? Like, it was funny because we went through those games where, you know, the guys are cross-checking each other and Stewie's, like, managing the game, I guess you'd call it.
See, I don't want the players that are less skilled playing bigger roles than they should. So if you're allowing hooking and holding and extra you know what, you're letting players that shouldn't be determining the game determine it. And to me, if you can't skate well enough to keep up, why should you be able to hook a guy, hold a guy?
Yeah, true enough.
And that's not cool. You're not as good as that guy. I saw a stat. Connor McDavid's played 500 minutes in the playoffs and drawn three penalties. How the hell is that possible? It's not. It's just not. He's got the puck too much. You mean to tell me that the players that are latching on to him, those aren't penalties? That's just McDavid. That's one example. I don't buy this. If you call the penalties the way they should be called, there'll be 15 per team. You know what? There will be the first game. And then the guys are going to go, you know what? I can't do that anymore. We're going to be shorthanded. These games are too important. The guys will get it. But right now, they don't have to get anything. Just keep hooking and holding and grabbing. They're not calling anything anyway. It's a rodeo.
Yeah.
Well,
I hate it. I hate the way they call the playoff games. That's my preference, and there'll always be those that will debate it and say, oh, you've got to fight through it. No, you don't. That's why there's a rule book. It doesn't say you get to tie somebody up. It doesn't say you get to grab somebody's jersey or to punch somebody in the face. I've looked at the rule book. Nowhere in there are those examples okay. Yet they just let them sail, and then you end up with a debacle like last night. That's embarrassing, honestly, for the game. That game should be, and these series should be, the best that we have to offer. In the World Series, they don't change the strike zone in Game 7. In the Super Bowl, they don't change pass interference from a game earlier in the year. If it's pass interference, they call it pass interference. Why is it different in hockey? It doesn't make sense.
Well, and with all that said, and this being a highlight to your point, we should be talking about two series that are now a best of three to go to a Stanley Cup final.
Yep.
You know, like you got, this is as good as it gets, and I think it will be for the next 6, 7, 8 days. So we'll leave it there. Habs are on the way to Vegas. Dominic Ducharme obviously is not. I mean, he's got to self-isolate for 14 days, which is wild. But and I guess Kelly McCrimmon's in the same position.
Right.
He's the GM
yeah.
of the Vegas Golden right. Knights. So anyway, we'll leave it there. We'll see, and we'll track the game tonight. Isles, Tampa, Game 5 back in Tampa, and break it down tomorrow at 5.
Yeah, I just want to say Noodles and I, a former teammate of ours, Tom Curver's passed away today. Just 58, and I just wanted to, yeah. I don't know, voice my sympathies and condolences to Heather and Tom's four kids. And, man, just a good, good person, a quirky sense of humor, a smart guy, a really humble guy. And, man, just it really hits when it's someone you know like this. So I just wanted to pass along my condolences.
Yeah, well put. Yeah. You speak for all of us here as well. All right, buddy, good stuff. We'll do it tomorrow at 5.
Talk to you then. Bye-bye.
There's Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. They take away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lean history, and accident history. Find out more at MapleToyota.com. Back into the Habs series, U.S.
And
Open, the
we
Jays.
We know that Vegas is exempt from the expansion.
Well, but thanks
and
for reaching out. They are
yes.
exempt. Yeah.
Exempt.
Right.
We
so
knew
there you
that.
Go. We knew it. We were testing people.
Exactly.
We do that every once in a while.
We forgot.
Thank you.
You know, we're trying to quiz people. We're trying to make sure everyone's on their toes.
Keep you on your toes.
Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, so this was a weekend of triumph and also for a lot of people just getting dragged online and water cooler material. John Rahm, shout out. Unbelievable. Wins the U.S. Open, his first major. He was a guy, we always knew it was coming. It was just a matter of time. Louis Oosthuizen, not necessarily feeling great today. Bryson DeChambeau, not feeling so great today. Robin Leonard, Marc-Andre Fleury, two sides of the coin. The refs in the NHL. Ben Simmons of the Philadelphia 76ers is getting dragged online, unlike any player I have seen in a long, long time.
Didn't
like
exactly get an
ugly.
Endorsement from his coach either after
no.
the game.
No.
Like, he was asked the question, can he ever be the guy you need him to be? And he just said, I can't answer that question right now.
Which is answering that question.
That is.
Sure.
But, I mean, is Doc Rivers, does he have to own some of this too? Because it sounds like both of them are getting tuned up.
They
it's
are
not
getting
like,
tuned up.
It's not like just Simmons alone. Now, Simmons, I thought I saw a stat, like he had 2 points in all of the fourth quarters in all seven games, like total.
Yes. I think he hit 3 total shots in the fourth quarter. But like
ridiculous.
This is actually the most staggering stat I think I've ever seen. And I say that every week. But Ben Simmons played 34 minutes in the fourth quarter of games 4 through 7 of the series. He had 0 field goal attempts. That is, I thought, impossible. Like, actually, if you had have told me this stat was going to happen before they tipped off game 4, I'd say it's not possible. I mean, 34 minutes, this guy plays the point. He rebounds, he defends, he creates turnovers. The offense effectively goes through him. He never even attempted a field goal. Like, I get it, you're not confident with your shot, but dude, at least give it a chance. You know, go Carlton Banks and fire one up from half court and see what happens.
Isn't this the guy that had – like no 3-point shots
yes.
for the longest time.
That's Ben
yes.
Simmons. Never
but like
hit
it
a three
sounds
for
like
the
he's
years.
Sounds like he's afraid to play
yep.
when the chips are down. Like you know,
offensively he is. He
which
absolutely
is, weird.
Is. Yep. And it's one of those guys like defensively he's a stud. you know, he passes the ball well. He creates turnovers. It's just that whole, you
Dude,
know,
what
shooting
the hell's with him
thing.
Not being able to shoot, though. They already had a first overall pick in Philly, didn't they, that couldn't shoot?
Markelle Fultz. They had
They had to move on from the guy because this guy just – something happened with his delivery or I don't know what the hell it was. And now this. It's bizarre, dude.
It's absolutely bizarre. And Simmons, I mean, it's difficult to get a read on the guy because he's got the makeup of a great player. You know, he's got size. He's got handles. He defends well. And just – that he doesn't literally doesn't shoot the ball in the fourth quarter.
And
like,
I think this guy makes $30 million a year.
He's a max player.
Wow.
Absolutely he is. He's a max player. And Doc Rivers, to your point, Doc now has 39 losses with a chance to clinch a playoff series. That is the most losses by a head coach in NBA history. I would say he's had a difficult 12 months, right? He was at the wrong end of the Clippers mess, and Steve Ballmer basically said, you're going to – not so cool anymore with you, Doc. You got to leave. Quickly gets a gig in Philly, and they choke away even harder than the Clippers did a year ago.
Well,
so,
you know, this all comes back to what you say, Brian, is like legacy. Like, you know, people – there are regular season heroes. There are people that, you know, put up points or look great. But when the chips are down, it's that clutch gene. And it doesn't matter what sport it is. If you're a pitcher in the World Series, if you're a basketball player, you're a hockey player, if you're a goaltender, like, you name it, it's clutch. Like, that's where legacies are built, is in the playoffs and in the championships.
And that's how winning programs are ultimately built. You
right.
know, like, there's talent dispersed over every single league.
Right.
Tom Brady is remarkably talented. Remarkably talented. But so are seven or eight other quarterbacks in the league every single year. He gets it done when you have to get it done. He has some sort of ability, some sort of gene, some sort of, I guess, you know, ability just to cool the system down and just see it for what it is and play it as if it's a Sandlot game as opposed to the fourth quarter of a Super Bowl. And it's a gene, it's a characteristic that very few human beings have. And Brady's a guy that has it. You know, LeBron has had it throughout his career. There are certain guys that just have it. And you look at the National Hockey League right now. Braden Point has it. Like, he's just the most recent example of the last couple of years. And I was thinking about that with the Leafs and all this conversation about their talent and all the conversation about the money and the contracts and all that. What we still don't know, yet we've got a fair amount of data, is Austin Matthews clutch in the biggest games? I don't know if he is. Mitch Marner? I can't say that they are right now. I cannot say
well,
that they are.
Do you have any case studies for guys that didn't have it early and all of a sudden developed it and had it later?
Well, I mean, Yzerman comes up. And
yeah, people talk
like
about
that.
Ovi and stuff, but, like, if you look at their stats, like, at least Ovi put up, like, put numbers up in the playoffs, and they won rounds and stuff like that. Right now, you're right. When it comes to the Leafs, there's not a lot of data because you're talking about one and done. As far as series, so
5 years though,
six games, five games, or yep. you know, 5 games last year, 7 games this year. So you get, you know, for Marner, for example, what is it, 1 goal in 18 or something like that? Like
yep.
it's, you know, so there's 18 games spread over, you know, 3 or 4 years. But it's, you know, when you get deeper into the playoffs, you know, you get a guy like Paul Byron who was on waivers this year. All of a sudden, he's scoring big clutch goals. You know, and that's the difference in. When you're looking at teams, and if you bring it back to the Leafs can't afford a guy like Paul Byron to be on their third or fourth line because he makes $3 million. And, you know, like, because the money's dispersed differently in Montreal or in Tampa or you name all these other teams, they're just constructed differently. That's what
it
is.
But it really is the ultimate investment, right? Like, it's
right.
These guys, like, the Leafs players, they have all the talent in the world. It's can you get it done in the biggest moments? And they're not
right.
alone. I mean, Philly's dealing with it right now, the Sixers. Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons have a ton of talent. They just have not been able to get it done. And golf, yesterday, John Rahm hitting those putts on 17 and 18. They were basically the exact same putt, which is kind of crazy. Like, it was a winding left-to-right putt.
Difficult putts for a righty to make.
Incredibly difficult. Across your body to read it properly. Those greens can be a little bit bumpy. And, I mean, those are just remarkable putts, clutch putts. And, you know, Louis Oosthuizen on the other side of it. It's impossible to define. You just know it
right.
afterwards, and you see it afterwards. You're like, that guy's got it, you know? She's got it. I don't know why, but they got it. They figured it out.
They don't panic. They don't panic. They just relax, and you know, everything kind of is the same way. Other people get, you know, wound up, and they think things are different. They, you know, I played with Grant Fear. Grant Fear was known as one of the most clutch goaltenders available, and you know, I watched him prepare for big games. You know, he just had an ability to play his best when the chips were on the line.
I think it's like deeper inside, Jamie, than just not panicking. I think it's just like when we say the clutch gene, like I think it's just something that's kind of in you or it's not. Like, I don't know.
And I think you relish it more than anything else. It's not, maybe it's the opposite, you know, and this is, it's not scientific, so you can't really define it. It's not tangible. It's either a combination of don't panic, or you want it, you know, you want that moment. Like you're seeking out that moment where other guys are fearful of that moment. You know, right. That moment's too big. And put me on the range, you put me on the free throw line with no one in the building, I'll shoot the lights out. You know, but I don't know if I want to take that shot with 20,000 people in the stands with a chance to move on to the next round.
Right.
You know, like that, it's just you got it or you don't. And some guys do. And ultimately, I don't know how you even scout for that. How do you scout for it when people are coming into a league at 17, 18, 19, 20 years old?
You're right. Like watching, you know, just the highlights of Ben Simmons having an opportunity to take the ball to the net and either dunk or shoot and him just pass it off. Like, it's like, I don't want to fail, so I'm going to give it to somebody else instead
of,
like, I want this. Like, the star players I played with always wanted the focus. They wanted it. Like, I'll play. Like, give me the puck or give, you know, like they want.
Can't get enough ice.
They want the big moment. They want it. They relish it. Where other guys, they shrink in those moments. And you're right. I don't know if it can be taught. I think it can be developed over time and confidence. But, you know, ultimately there's guys that we know and have played with and have seen over the years. They just have that it factor where, you know, at the biggest moments, they're going to be there. They'll be ready to go.
Yep. And listen, everyone fails at some point, but those guys also have the ability to immediately dust themselves off and get going.
Right.
You know, like Brady's lost twice in the Super Bowl. LeBron's lost a lot in the finals. And you just get back on the horse and go. And that was another thing that stood out to me over the weekend. The Brooklyn Nets, who we have not talked about through 40 minutes. But your Nets, like, just almost had it. Like, Kevin Durant's toe on the line, if he's an inch back, they're through to the finals of the Eastern Conference.
Well, can we say that if they had Kyrie in the lineup, they just dummy them? Like,
I think that's probably true.
Yeah.
Or I think if Harden's at 100%, like, watching Harden at the end of the third quarter the other night was actually comical. Like, he was jacking up shots and not even close to hitting anything. He just couldn't play, and he just didn't have it in him. And now he's going to the Olympics. Yeah, he was. He was Chubbs from Teen Wolf. Like, give me the ball. And Durant was Teen Wolf. Like, we joke about Durant, and we say what we say about him. The guy he put on a masterpiece of basketball, and it just wasn't enough. Because even with him playing that well, he needed one other guy to step up a little bit more.
Dude, it's going to be curious or interesting to see the numbers that the Bucks and the Hawks put up.
And Suns-Clippers on the west side of things.
Wow, you know it. The Clippers can pull it off, though. You know, because is there any more news on Kawhi? Are they just kind of saying, like, he's done for this series?
What about the casual fan, Hayes? Like, is the casual fan going to keep going with this, or are they just...
I think so, because what this will test and challenge is the outcries for more variety when it was LeBron going to the finals 9 years in a row.
Oh, yeah, we'll see.
This is it, right? This is your potpourri. This is your buffet. You've got Atlanta, Milwaukee, the Clippers, and Phoenix in the conference final. No Steph, no LeBron, no KD. And let's see, you know, because I expect it will still be great basketball. I'm not sure about the East. I think Milwaukee will win. I think they might win in 5 or 6. I think, you know, credit Atlanta. I think it was more about Philly just puking all over themselves as opposed to Atlanta kind of stealing it. But we'll see. I think Milwaukee's going to go to the NBA Finals, and I think they'll probably play Phoenix. Those are two really small markets. You know, but you got some big names. Giannis is a name that's been promoted a lot. Back-to-back MVP. And Chris Paul is going to be there. Devin Booker's getting a lot of love. Deserves it, yeah. Right? Like, Booker's putting up numbers, man. Without Paul the other day, he put up numbers yesterday. So, we'll see. But it's going to challenge the idea of a dynasty not being worth your time, you know, or something right. that gets boring after a while. We don't want to see Golden State every year, okay? You might get Phoenix. Let's see. Let's see what you got. Right. That's going to be yet to be determined, I suppose. But Nota Begay will join us in 20 minutes. We'll get back into the U.S. Open. John Rahm, what he accomplished. Guys just hacking it around the back nine at Torrey Pines yesterday. And Mackenzie Hughes, you know, was in the final group of a major and didn't go his way yesterday.
No, it was tough sledding, man.
That's, yeah, putting it mildly. Kind of felt like, remember when Mike Weir was paired with Tiger? Was that the 99 PGA or I can't remember which one. And he shot like an 80. Like, it was, like, really ugly. Mm-hmm. But that was, you know, a few years later, he's winning a Masters, and he's top 10 player in the world. Like, you got to get a taste of it, and Mackenzie Hughes got a taste of it. It didn't go his way, but we'll talk
but
more
he's got to get
that.
Back there. That's yeah. the thing. Like, he's got to get back in that position to say, okay, the first time I was kind of nervous and jittery, and just a garbage break off the tree. I mean, that's as bad a shot as you can hit there. But it hit the tree, and a lot of people don't know that. It hit the ground and went back up into the tree.
Right. Yeah, and then and then stays up there, so it's a penalty, right? Like, just
dude, if that's at St. George's, that tournament, somebody's throwing a shoe up there to get that golf ball down.
Right, a Canadian would be up there.
You think so?
Grabbing it, yeah. But then it just became too much of a photo opportunity. So that and more coming up. And Al's brother with a power ranking around 625. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, Nota Begay coming up in about 15 minutes. We'll get into the Jays as well, salvaging the series in Baltimore. They got smoked on Friday night, and they were down in the ninth inning, two outs on Saturday. And Bo Bichette with a nine-pitch at bat, he fouled off seven pitches in a row.
Then let that little blooper go out to right field. And well, I love what happened earlier. Like, and I love this, Hayes. I love the slow jaunt from the bullpen guys when there's kind of like a melee and they're clearing. It's like, do you guys really got to get in there? Like, you got to get in there from the bullpen.
Nothing's going to happen. It never has historically.
And the 35 guys per team down there, can't they handle it? Like, I love this. It's like, okay, I got to get down there. I got to get down there.
I feel like it's a game of chicken. Like, you're watching the other side, and you're like, all right, they open the door, they're going. Like, I guess we have to go now, which you have to at that point.
When ultimately there's two or three guys per team that are engaged in what's going on.
Well, and I got to say, I like what Manoah did. And I believe it looked intentional. Like, I know why the ump threw him out. Like, he'd given up four home runs, back-to-back bombs.
And
it's an 0-1 count.
Screw this.
And he beamed the guy right in the back. Like, it's not like a slider got away from him. He
well,
hit
how can
him
you
square.
Say that when 2 weeks ago you're like, I don't like guys being thrown at 100 miles an hour, but all of a sudden Manoah does it. You like it?
Yeah. Well, what I'm saying is the unwritten rules, that's old-school Roger Clemens, Nolan Ryan fire. Right. You know, like, that's what it is. And that's the viewpoint I'm looking at it from, is this is a guy who got pissed. He's a big guy. He's a fiery guy. He's got some life on the mound. He was getting rocked. He gave up back-to-back bombs. And I'm fine with the ump throwing him out. I would have thrown him out too. I absolutely would have thrown him out. It looked intentional to me. And based on the circumstances and the context, you get hit back-to-back and you hit a guy, it's like, you got to go. And then he starts walking in at the guy. And I don't know what he was saying, but it looked like he was kind of – basically, like, you want to come have a conversation, we can do that.
A man conversation? Is that no? We can't. What was the that man, guy? Oleg Oleg Blokhin.
That was the Ukrainian manager, I believe, at one of the World Cups back.
If you are a man, just go with me, and I will tell a man conversation with you.
How did Balls pull that up that quickly? The Oleg Blokhin. That is unbelievable.
That's one of the greatest drops of all time. If you're a man, let's go outside and have a little man.
If you're a man, just go with me and I will tell a man conversation with you.
Yeah, I need that as my ringtone.
That translator is terrified that a fight's going to break out and he's in between it.
Yeah, that was someone in the media just grilling the skip, and you know he was probably swearing at him. He's like, I have to translate this into English in front of 100 million people around the world. Let's go have a man conversation outside.
Oh, I love it.
But that was basically it. And, yeah, listen, I don't want to see guys get hurt. I don't need the retaliation. But I think that's where Manoa was coming from. And
yeah,
a little bit of fire when you're getting rocked. He gave up 4 home runs. Like, he got hit and hit hard. But they found a way to salvage that series, and they took 2 or 3, and they needed that. And it was all Bichette's at-bat, the at-bat of the season, 9th inning on Saturday. And they're off today. They're in Miami tomorrow. George Springer, we believe, will return to the lineup tomorrow as well. So that'll be a big topic of discussion
tomorrow. What's the latest on him? He's just almost getting forgotten. It's like,
debate is going to be where he's going to hit. Like, he's going to be back. That's
Dude, there
the
should
belief.
Be
He'll
no
be
debate
tomorrow.
Where this guy hits. Zero debate.
Yeah. At some point, he's going to be the leadoff hitter. I'm not sure it'll be tomorrow night. They might, for his purpose, ease him into it. I don't know if he'd want that or not. But they might say, well, hit you 5th, hit you 6th, ease you into the lineup. You know, hitting leadoff is such a primary role. It's such a focal point. He's comfortable with it. He's done it his whole career. He's won a World Series MVP doing it. But
yeah,
I don't know. Montoyo, it's tough to get a read on Charlie, man. He's taking heat left, right, and center. And then Atkins came out yesterday and gave him the vote of confidence, saying, you know, in typical Ross Atkins fashion, like, they're exceptionally – how did he phrase it? I got to find the clip. It was, like, exceptionally, you know, happy with Charlie or something like that. It was, like, a typical Atkins type of quote, which, you know, you can read it whichever way you choose. But anyway, they're back in action tomorrow night. All right, we'll get to our Lays playoff face-off in the next hour. Al's brother coming up. Nota Begay will join us as well in the U.S. Open. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.